Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening that you are having a great start to your day. It's Tuesday, March 23rd, and hope your Tuesday is getting a bit of a boost from a very exciting win for the Grizzlies, 132-126 over the Boston Celtics to end their homestand with three wins in four games against three very tough opponents. Even if you think that they should have won the first game of the Golden State series, the Grizzlies would have taken this three out of four on this homestand any day of the week following the back-to-back losses against OKC and Phoenix last weekend. We'll get into a very historic night, both for good and bad reasons, in the Grizzlies win over the Celtics in the first segment of the show. In the second segment, I'll discuss how it's another season, but it's the same story all along. Once again, an obstacle emerges for that the Grizzlies must overcome for them to take the next step as a franchise. And in the third segment, I'll explain why, with the trade deadline just a few days away, though we may not see a move to address that need or get over that obstacle now, this trade deadline, like recent deadlines, offers validation that it seems like every deadline there are solutions to help the Grizzlies with this one specific need that offers them hope that at future deadlines they can address it as they get closer to contention. You can find the show at Locked On Grizzlies, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen to podcasts. That's where we are. We ask that you listen, subscribe, review. Let us know what you think of the show. We always want to make sure we're providing content that is certainly relevant to our listeners' preferences. And speaking of content, there was plenty of it last night. I call last night a beautiful disaster that thankfully wound up with a positive ending. And the reason why that is because I can't remember a game, at least this season, in which both the strength that illustrated the highest of highs and the lowest of lows when it came to the Grizzlies, you know, strengths and when it came to their weaknesses. The defense was historically bad last night when it came to the Grizzlies' production. The offense was historically good, but thankfully it was the offense that won out, and it needed to do it in that way after it had struggled so much since the second half of the season started, besides the opening game of the second half against the Wizards. This offense had gone through five games and seven nights of playing five straight top 15 opponents when it comes to defensive rating. And thankfully, that allowed for this offense to get enough experience under its belt, struggling, but figuring out how to make stuff work against tough defenses. They finally face another, you know, reasonably tough defense tonight, but shine through when they needed to. However, they needed every bit of the offense. This Grizzlies team allowed for a Boston Celtics team that was without Kemba Walker and that was without Jason Tatum. The top three players on this Boston Celtics team were Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and a rejuvenated, for lack of a better word, Jeff Teague. So, for instance, when you look at this game and you look at so many different stats, there are so many out there that would make you think the Grizzlies lost this game, and then there are so many others that make you think the Grizzlies clearly won the game. For instance, the Grizzlies allowed the Celtics to go 17 of 35 from three. They allowed Jeff Teague to score 26 points in a game in 2021. But we'll specifically focus on the three-point production, or the lack of three-point defense for the Grizzlies. They allowed Boston to go 17 of 35 from three. When the Grizzlies have played nearly 2,150 games in the history of the franchise, they've only allowed a team now to make 17 or more threes while shooting 48% or better from three in 22 games. So one out of every 100 games is when the Grizzlies allow for a team to do what Boston did last night. In the 21 previous games when the Grizzlies had allowed that to happen, they were 3-18. They're now 4-18. Another crazy thing, the success from three allowed Boston to score above 125 points. The Grizzlies had only allowed an opponent to score 125 or more points 58 previous times coming into last night. In the history of the franchise, when the Grizzlies had allowed an opponent to score 125 or more points, they were 7-51 coming into last night in franchise history. They were 1-20 under Taylor Jenkins, and yet they still won last night. It was only the second time under Taylor Jenkins that the Grizzlies allowed an opponent to score 125 or more points, and they won the game. That's how historically bad the Grizzlies' defense was last night. When the Grizzlies' defense performed like they did last night, genuinely over 90% of the time, the Grizzlies lose. But the reason why they did not lose last night was because their offense, as historically bad as the defense was, the offense was a little bit more historically good, for lack of a better way of putting it. Before last night, this Grizzlies team had only made 55 or more field goals once in a game in franchise history. They had produced 38 or more assists in a game only three times. And this was the first time last night in which they produced 55 field goals or more and 38 assists or more in a game. They tied their franchise record when it came to points in the paint at 80. The overall theme that these numbers and this history is creating is to show is that the Grizzlies, they had to put their strengths on full display, passing and producing in the paint, because they couldn't hit the three themselves. Another night shooting the three, which we'll get more into in the second segment. But thankfully last night, when the defense just was not there, the defense just could not prevent the Celtics from shooting the three. It looked a lot like the first time we played the Celtics this season. Thankfully this time around, the offense was there to produce. And the great thing about it is that in a time when it needed to happen, in a time where it felt like the Grizzlies may be on the verge of losing their third inexplicable game, having a third game that they lost for inexplicable reasons over the past 10 days, the best players for the Grizzlies stepped up. Ja Morant, 29 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. Dylan Brooks, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Arguably the best game of his career. Kyle Anderson across the board production. Jonas Valanciunas another 15 and 15 night. Desmond Bane and DeAnthony Melton having great games off the bench. It was a complete offensive victory. I asked Desmond Bane after the game, you know, how did it feel to finally put together a game in which everybody was in the flow of the offense? Everybody was contributing. The offense was firing on all cylinders. And he said it was a fun brand of basketball. And that's what this Grizzlies team is supposed to be. They're supposed to be a fun brand of basketball. However, defenses had done a very good job of limiting our ability to get out on the run and to have fun like we usually do, because they knew that that's when we were our most productive. So the Grizzlies, despite not being able to shoot the three and the inability to defend the three, which we've talked about several times on this show, is areas that they've got to improve in, they still were able to find a way to win despite their weaknesses being on full display. So in the end, it is a bit of a positive, you know, occurrence. It's nice to see this team on multiple occasions either being able to find ways to win when their strengths were taken from them, like they were against Miami and in the second game against the Warriors, but also see this team be able to win even when they just are very bad defensively. The Grizzlies had kind of righted the ship, though they have had a few occurrences where they've kind of stepped back. You know, overall, they've improved their production defending the three, but they've still had some games where they've had lapses where they've still allowed very good three-point production, but they were able to overcome it last night in a big, big victory. And the big reason why overall this was a big victory is because it came through the offense producing. But the thing about it is this, is that we know that the Grizzlies' offense shines when it features its production in the paint and when it also passes well. But this Grizzlies team continues to struggle from three, and overall, despite wins like last night being great for this team, they're going to have to figure out a way eventually, whether it be this year or beyond, to get their three-point production up to truly take the next step as a sustainable winner. Coming up, I'll explain how the Grizzlies are really struggling at once again shooting from three and why this is a need that has to be addressed sooner rather than later for this team to realize its ultimate goals going forward. Before we discuss how the Grizzlies really need to improve their shooting from three, I can tell you how you can improve your overall experience as a fan, and that's downloading the Locker Room app. Right now, only available through iOS devices. If you go to the App Store and download the Locker Room app, within a few clicks of a button, you can create a profile and jump right in to a whole new world of opportunities when it comes to being a sports fan. If you're someone who just loves talking with other people about the sports you love, the athletes you follow, the different, you know, themes that are out there in sports and beyond, it's a great place for you to interact and get to know others. If you're someone who really wants to grow as a sports content creator. It's a great opportunity for you to do that, for you to network, make contacts. For me, for instance, I've been on Locker Room now for about 8 months, and I've had created so many new relationships and gained so many new friendships, as well as plenty of opportunities to bring people on this show, as well as be on other people's show when it comes to the Locker Room app. But the best thing about it at all is that it creates new opportunities that you never knew before could be a reality. On my end, I've been able to ask great sports personalities such as Keith Smith, Mark Stein, Nate Duncan, John Hollinger, and even Miles Turner of the Indiana Pacers different questions regarding basketball and the Grizzlies. It just opens up a whole new door to your experience as a fan, and it's right at the click of your fingertips for you to be able to enjoy it. Again, go to the App Store, download the Locker Room app, and really, really embrace your ability to be a fan. The great thing about it also is that every Thursday at 8 o'clock, you have the chance to speak with me as well as other Grizzlies fans through Let's Talk Grizzlies, our weekly episode through Locked On Grizzlies that allows for us to talk about everything Grizzlies when it comes to the great team that we follow. Again, go to the App Store through your iOS device, download the Locker Room app, and enhance your experience as a fan. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Spring is officially here, and I'm sure that means you're probably on the go more than you have been, you know, here over probably the past year. And if that's the case, you certainly want to make sure your automobile is as good a condition as possible. Well, if that includes having to do some car repairs, then I've got a great source for you to go to find all the car parts you need, and that's rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is an amazing source because within a few clicks of the button, you'll likely find what you need, and you'll be able to find whatever you need without any hassle, regardless of the make or model or the part that's needed. RockAuto.com is likely to have it. And the great thing is that no matter your experience level, if you're someone that needs to do their own repairs, if you need someone to do your repairs or you do repairs for others, RockAuto.com is very, you know, cost-friendly. You know, this is a family-owned business. They've been around for 20-plus years. They want to make sure that prices are feasible for folks who need their parts. Go visit RockAuto.com today. Let them know the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you would ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today. Once again, an exciting time of year as the NBA trade deadline is right around the corner, just a few days away. And we'll have you covered, regardless of the rumor, news, whatever may happen, we'll have you covered here. Tomorrow on the show, Grizzly Bear Blues site manager Joel Molinax will be with us to discuss all things Grizzlies to start the second half, as well as, you know, some information that he's gotten with folks that he's talked with as far as trades go, as well as his perspective on what the Grizzlies could do at the trade deadline and beyond. So be looking out for that. And again, any other news that breaks out, whether it deals with the Grizzlies or it deals elsewhere, we will have all the breakdown for you here this week on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Well, one thing that I can tell you is certainly relevant is though the Grizzlies now have the differences in their roster construction, in the potential, in their style of play, there's plenty of differences between this team now and different iterations of the Grizzlies that had come, you know, that had been there in the past when it came to Memphis. But a couple of things remain the same. We still are a team that produces in the paint, and we still are a team at times that struggles to defend the three. But the big thing about this Grizzlies team that is very much the same as it is in the past is that this Grizzlies team also struggles to shoot the three. The Grizzlies, ever since Justice Winslow came back on February 20th, they had done a better job of defending the three. They had really stepped up their ability at times to be able to both create turnovers at a league-best rate while also being able to play one-on-one defense and being able to effectively stop teams on the perimeter. But the problem is that even if the Grizzlies had made improvements when it comes to defending the three, the Grizzlies have been atrocious shooting the three. That's the only way to describe it. The numbers are staggering. They have been atrocious shooting the three. Yes, this Grizzlies team has seen plenty of improvement when it comes to Desmond Bane, Grayson Allen, Kyle Anderson, De'Anthony Melton, each of those players either being added to the roster for the full season this year or improving in their shooting, that has certainly been a relevant area of hope when it comes to this team's shooting ability. But you've also seen regressions in Brandon Clark, Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, and Tyus Jones shooting the three as well. And many of those players are the players that you're going to see shooting more threes because they're going to be playing more minutes. But the numbers really do stand out. The numbers really do show that one of the reasons why this Grizzlies team really can't overcome being 500, despite now having their roster at full health, though they are obviously missing Jaren Jackson Jr., One of the biggest reasons why they cannot emerge or get past being above 500 is because their style of play just doesn't allow it. This Grizzlies team, between their game against Miami and February 20th when Justice Winslow returned, over those 11 games, the Grizzlies were 30th in the league in three-pointers made and 29th in the league in three-point field goal percentage. In those 11 games, the Grizzlies were allowing their opponents to make 12.8 threes per game while only making 8.7 threes themselves. So they automatically, this Grizzlies team, even before the game started in that stretch of time, they had to overcome 12 points because they were allowing four more threes per game than they were making. This homestand, four games since that Miami game. Yes, the Grizzlies did go 3-1. Yes, the big reason why is because the defense was playing well. But the reason why it still is kind of a miracle that they went 3-1 is that the Grizzlies allowed their opponents to make 53 threes while also making only 40 themselves. They are continuing each and every game to allow their opponents to make an average of four more threes than this team is making themselves, and that's really standing out. It's making it to where the Grizzlies have to have incredible performances from some of their players or have to set incredible new marks when it comes to their strengths in order to win games because they can't shoot the three themselves, and if they can't defend the three, then it's just not a formula that's going to lead to a lot of success. But the thing about it is this, is that the hope would be that when you look at the improvements potentially of others such as Melton and Anderson, you'll see Morant, Brooks, Tyus, all of them get back on track. But the thing is this, is that even if they do, one thing that is glaringly apparent about this team is that they just do not have the ability to create their own shot. And because of that, since they've got to rely on working off their production in the paint, they've got to rely on the passing from that to set up threes, this Grizzlies team is easier to stop shooting the three than other teams that can really produce from beyond the arc themselves. When it comes to this Grizzlies team, the big thing is creating their own shot. That's the big thing that stands out. Last year, after the bubble, this Grizzlies team was last in the league on pull-up three-point opportunities. That meant that they were the worst team in the league at creating their shots from beyond the arc, and they made 29% of their shots. This year, they have improved slightly, but they still are second to last in the league when it comes to making their own shots. Coming into the Miami game, only 6.9% of the Grizzlies' overall field goal attempts were on three-pointers that the individual player created by themselves. 6.9%. They only made 31.5% of those shots, which was good for 23rd in the league. So yes, a slight improvement from last year, but nowhere near where it needs to be when it comes to the Grizzlies' ability for them to be able to take that next step forward. And the NBA shows just how critical of a skill that is. Just how critical of a skill it is for a team to be able to create their own shots. Of the 11 teams with the lowest percentages of their shots being pull-up threes this season, only four had a winning record as of last Wednesday. Of the 12 teams with the lowest three-point field goal percentage on pull-up attempts, only four of those 12 teams had a winning record. There is a correlation between teams that can create their own shots from three effectively with their ability to be able to win. And though the Grizzlies have done a phenomenal job overcoming injuries, overcoming interruptions to the season due to COVID-19, and overcoming other things, and you've seen improvements as far as their defense goes, once again, the ability to create their own shot from three and just shoot the three in general remains a big obstacle that this team has to overcome. But the thing about it is this, is that despite it that being a clear need for this team, and while there certainly has been improvement from within, the only way that they're truly going to be able to make this clear weakness a potential strength, or at least not be as big of a liability going forward, is to find solutions externally. And though that may not happen this year, there are options out there, now and into the future, that could make that solution a bit easier to find than one may think. Coming up, we know that the Grizzlies struggle from three. We know that they struggle to create their own shot. How can they go about trying to improve that now or in the near future? Because it's going to need to be addressed before this team takes the next step that it needs to as a franchise. I'll explore those options here in just a second when we come back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. It's crazy to think, but we already are to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. That's right. The NCAA tournament is in full swing. March Madness is in full swing. And if that's part of what you enjoy as a fan, when it comes to events like March Madness, the NBA, NHL, baseball around the corner, if part of your enjoyment as a fan is betting and wagering on sports, I've got the best place for you, and that is betonline.ag. That's correct. Betonline.ag. The great thing about it is that no matter how you bet on sports or you know what you like to bet on, BetOnline has you covered. Football might be over, but the NBA, NCAA, all these great things are still going on. UFC as well. No matter what sport you like or what athletes you follow, BetOnline has you covered. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. It even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. It has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus by using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Again, go use the website or your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. We've been telling you about the great product known as Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. We've discussed the NCAA like crazy over the past few days when it comes to Built Bar, and that's because it's Built Bar March Madness. 18 different flavors to choose from, but what truly is the best flavor out there? Well, they're deciding over at Built Bar in Built Bar March Madness. Today's matchup is chocolate brownie chunk versus lemon almond cheesecake. I personally want to go with the chocolate brownie chunk just because it's great, but that lemon almond cheesecake sounds like it could really make your morning as well. Go over to BuiltBar.com or at @bar_built on Twitter to cast your vote. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar at BuiltBar.com. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA Draft with the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. So without a doubt, it's clearly wonderful that this team has played to the strengths of its roster. They're one of the best passing teams in the NBA, arguably the best team when it comes to production in the paint. But right now, the Grizzlies are finding themselves in too many situations where they're swapping twos for threes when it comes to offense, and it really is something that's going to continue to be hard to overcome as they play more competition and as they play more frequently in the second half of the season. As a matter of fact, over the past 15 games, as I mentioned in the second segment, since Justice Winslow returned over the past 15 games, this Grizzlies team has allowed 195 threes to be made by their opponents while only making 136 threes themselves. Again, right at a 4-3 net difference. Basically, the Grizzlies are already down 12 points every game because of how many threes they're allowing for their opponents to make over their own. And yes, their ability to create turnovers, produce in the paint, and pass typically allows for them to remain creative and to overcome that production. But the thing about it is this, is that once again, though the Grizzlies have their strengths, they've got to be able to, in today's NBA, to shoot the three at least a reasonable clip to really take that next step as a franchise. And the best way to do that would be to have options that can create their own shot. Well, obviously, you know, we have many different ways in which we would love for the Grizzlies to be able to do that. In free agency coming up, you know, at this trade deadline, there are several options that are out there that could help out. Norman Powell, Wayne Ellington, Evan Fournier are all names that would be great for this Grizzlies team to trade for. And each of those three names are in the top 11 of players that with at least 50 pull-up attempts from three this season, those three names rank in the top 11 players with the best field goal percentage on pull-up three-point shooting opportunities. that have at least attempted 50 pull-up three-point shot opportunities this season. So the Grizzlies could make a move at the trade deadline to get the exact type of player that they needed. Now, the reason why I don't think that they're going to do that, I don't see this Grizzlies team getting into a bidding war for a player that they're only going to be able to retain for sure through the end of this season and use future assets to try to improve now. Even with that type of player, this Grizzlies team still, at best, may squeak into the playoffs to face a team that they're likely going to lose at least 4 out of 5 games to in the first round. I don't see the Grizzlies making a move for that to be the best outcome. That's nothing against Memphis. That's nothing against this roster. It's just counterproductive for what this team is trying to do. However, the reason why it is significant that those players are available at the trade deadline is because that is continuing a recent trend that we've seen at NBA trade deadlines, where these type of players, players that excel at being able to create their own shot from three, those type of players consistently are available at the trade deadline, which is good news for a Grizzlies team that needs that to be addressed soon for them to take the next step towards being a sustainable winner in contention. Now, this is an NBA trade deadline that we're talking about. We'd love for another long-term option to come in place. Like, for instance, this offseason, signing a Duncan Robinson or a Lonzo Ball, being able to trade for a Bradley Beal or a Zach LaVine, or drafting a Corey Kispert or a Moses Moody or a James Boatnight, somebody like that. We'd love to find the long-term solution that can create their own shot from three to put with Jaren and Ja going forward. And that's the ultimate goal. But so many other teams are looking for that as well. It's hard to sit here and say that the Grizzlies are going to be able to find that this offseason and be good. But the thing about it is this, is that with the front office that is shown through trades, it can maximize the options that it has when it comes to trades. And with the front office that is also shown that it can, in multiple ways, can identify talent that will be worthwhile to add to this roster, there are examples of ways in which the Grizzlies can resolve their need to find self-sufficient shooting without having to give up the packages that it would take to get a LaVine or a Beal, or to give up the money that it would take to get a Robinson or a Ball. Yes, you still go those routes because the likelihood of you being able to find what you need certainly increases when you acquire that talent of player, that level of talent through those players. But if they don't find that, there are recent examples at NBA trade deadlines where you still can find what you need despite maybe it not being your first, second, or third choice. For instance, at the 2019-2020 deadline, both the Utah Jazz and the Clippers, they added names in Marcus Morris from the Knicks going to the Clippers, as well as recently when Jordan Clarkson was traded from the Cavaliers to the Jazz. Both those players showed very good shooting ability on pull-up opportunities with their former teams in the Knicks and the Cavaliers before they were traded to their current teams in the Jazz and the Clippers. And the thing about it is that through adding those players, both the Clippers and the Jazz have improved their ability to shoot. And though they traded for them last year, when the Clippers traded for Morris and when the Jazz traded for Clarkson, that resulted this past offseason in both of those players being retained for 4 years. And now Morris is a big contributor to the Clippers' championship efforts. Clarkson is a big contributor to the Jazz's championship efforts. And the thing about it is this, yes, Morris did require a first-round pick in the trade offer to get him, but Clarkson did not. So the thing is that while neither of those players are a LaVine or a Beal or another all-star level shooter, they certainly improved their acquiring team's ability to shoot. They were acquired for reasonable prices, and then they stuck around for the long term. That type of opportunity is out there for the Grizzlies at future trade deadlines. You've seen other names. Alec Burks was traded to a contender last year. Lou Williams has been traded. Bojan Bogdanovic. Other names like that. Every single year, in 3 out of the past 4 trade deadlines, significant names, multiple significant names that can create their own shot from three, or at the very least, shoot the three at a very effective rate, whether it be catch and shoot or pull up, those names are certainly out there. So the good thing for the Grizzlies is that while a move is probably not going to be made at this trade deadline to address the clear need that this team has when it comes to their ability to shoot the three, Over the next 12 to 18 months, as expectations rise and this Grizzlies team clearly knows that they need to make a run for the playoffs that is legitimate, that is going to be there, that's going to result in them being an actual threat once they get to the playoffs to advance. If the need remains for them to improve their three-point shooting, the good thing is that as this trade deadline shows and as recent trade deadlines have shown, there is a nice fallback option in NBA trade deadlines if the Grizzlies for some reason are not able to find a long-term solution when it came to shooting the three, you know, whether it be through the draft, free agency, or a big trade for a LaVine, Beal, or someone along those lines. If we're here next year and the Grizzlies are still looking to address their shooting needs, while they may not be able to find something on the level of a LaVine or a Ball or a Beal or whomever, there's at least going to be options out there that likely will allow for the Grizzlies to improve their shooting. So while we may not see anything right now, and we may not see anything immediate when it comes to this offseason, don't fret if you're a Grizzlies fan and you know that this just continues to be a trend for this team when it comes to their shooting. There's plenty of options that are going to be out there along the way, whether it be in the offseason or at the NBA trade deadline. And the big thing about it is that now we thankfully enough have a competent front office that'll make the needed move when it needs to whatever degree it needs to be. And in this case, we may have a front office that actually can make a move that may not seem like it's that significant, but winds up being the most beneficial move possible, because if we can get a guy at a reasonable price, at lower price than it would take to get a Bill or LaVine, but he comes into this system and excels and winds up being a long-term option, that could potentially be the best route to go for a small market team like Memphis that needs to keep as many assets as possible while being very, very attentive and being very, very astute when it comes to its additions. Those options are out there, and when it comes to the Grizzlies' need to add shooting, thankfully they'll have plenty of options to choose from in the near future. You can once again find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSEC, the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Joe Mullinax of Grizzly Bear Blues will be with us tomorrow as we inch closer and closer to the trade deadline. Until then, hope you have a great Wednesday. It was a pleasure joining you once again, and we'll talk to you here soon on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.